96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We all know someone who has diabetes, and some of us may struggle with it ourselves. But it's still a big mystery for so many. Well, tonight, we're talking about it during Diabetes Awareness Month. It is our Medical Monday conversation. And tonight, my guests are Dr. Gail Nunley-Bland, director of the Diabetes Treatment Center at Howard University Hospital. Also, Maya Fisher. She is a patient of Dr. Bland's. She is a type 1 diabetic. She is also my lovely daughter. And we're going to hear from her in a bit. Lines are open if you have a question or comment about diabetes, diagnosis, treatment, managing it. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldFisherWHUR or follow me on Twitter at DailyDrumWHUR or HFisherWHUR. Dr. Bland and Maya, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, let's start with some of the basics, Dr. Bland. We hear about diabetes, as I said, the old folks calling it sugar. Why do they call it sugar? And specifically, what is it?
Well, diabetes is a condition when your body doesn't either produce enough insulin, and insulin is a chemical that allows the food that you eat to be carried into the cells. If you don't have enough insulin, that food actually turns into sugar, and it goes up too high. So that's where a lot of the old people get the idea of sugar diabetes. It used to be where older people, when they urinated, they noticed that a lot of flies were flying around the urine. And that's because that sugar gets poured out of your urine, and the flies were attracted to that. So that's how we came up with a lot of the term sugar diabetes.
Wow, I didn't know that. Learning a little something new tonight. We often hear that most people that we know of who deal with diabetes, there are type 2 when you're talking about it. What is type 2 and how does that differ from type 1?
Well, type 2 is the most common form of diabetes, and it tends to occur in older individuals, if you're overweight, if you have a strong family history of diabetes. And this is generally brought on by inactivity and weight gain, either from poor food choices. This type of diabetes can be managed with diet, insulin, as well as pills. Sometimes, you know, patients that have type 1 diabetes, which is a little different and occurs generally in younger individuals where the body does not produce any insulin at all. And it's due to the immune system actually destroying the cells that produce the insulin. These individuals need insulin for survival. Pills will not work. Both types of diabetes do benefit from a good diet and exercise. But insulin is absolutely required for type 1 diabetes.
So, Maya, you have type 1 diabetes. How do you manage it? How do you get your insulin?
Well, recently I just got a new pump. Mm-hmm. So I've been on a pump since I was 13 years old. It manages it pretty well. It gives me insulin practically every 2 hours, depending on how much insulin that gives me. I have to put in a specific time in order for me to receive this insulin. So my basal rate, if I have a 12:30 basal rate at 12:30 a.m.
Now let's back up a little bit, because first of all, you said you have a pump. What is the pump?
A pump is kind of like, I was told, it's kind of like a pancreas, an artificial pancreas that you carry around on the outside, on your hip, on your arm, your leg, wherever. And it mostly monitors your blood sugar. So every time that you check your blood sugar, you make sure that you put in your numbers and you put in the amount of carbs that you're eating with your food. Mm-hmm. So that's what basically the pump is.
And you mentioned basal rates. We're not talking about the spices.
Right? No.
What's a basal rate, sweetie?
So basically my basal rate, it gives me a little bit of amount of insulin every couple of hours, depending on the time frame that it gives me. So the pump unlike needles or the EpiPen, the pump gives you insulin to monitor your blood sugars. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, if you don't get that moderation, you might be high one moment and then low the next, and you'll just be all over the place with your numbers.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is Medical Monday. We're talking about diabetes, diagnosing it, managing it, treating it. If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810. Shannon calling. Whoops, I got Brenda first. Sorry about that. Brenda calling from California. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. I'm Harold. I was just calling because in my family, type 2 diabetes runs in the family. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until we had a tragedy of my cousin dying at 38 from having undiagnosed diabetes that we all had ourselves checked. And most of us all had diabetes and wasn't aware of it. And so we all had to get educated, get on the right medications, and learn things like, you know, proper eating and diet and exercise. And I know that the exercise makes such a big difference in managing the diabetes. So I just wanted to make a comment about people might need to look at their family history and see if they have a lot of family members with it, because you might also have it also and not know it.
Brenda, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. Dr. Bland, you want to comment on what she was just talking about?
Well, she actually made a very good point. If you have that strong family history, you have a mother, father, sibling with diabetes, and usually that's type 2 diabetes, that you should get your blood sugar checked, and you would go to your doctor. They would either draw blood for fasting blood glucose, which means that you wouldn't have anything to eat for about 12 hours except for water. And if your blood sugar is 126 or higher, then you have a diagnosis of diabetes. Or if we get a random blood sugar, if you've eaten, and if that random blood sugar is 200 or higher, you have the diagnosis of diabetes. We also have a condition of prediabetes where you're at risk, but you don't have diabetes. And if that fasting blood sugar is between 100 and 125, this is the time that you can really intervene to keep you from going on to develop diabetes. And that's why diet and exercise is so important. And she did mention exercise as being extremely important. That allows your body to use insulin more efficiently.
Okay. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Bland, Maya talks about an insulin pump, but there are other ways to get insulin. Talk to me about those. She mentioned the pen and some other things.
Yes, there are several ways that you can administer insulin. Insulin pens are also very convenient. They look just like an ink pen, and you dial the dose as prescribed by your doctor. We like to give you what we call a basal, and I think Maya mentioned that her pump gives her a continuous basal amount of insulin. Well, in a pen, we give a long-acting insulin that acts like that basal insulin that her pump gives, which is that continuous amount of insulin that you would receive. Then you would give what we term a bolus insulin, and that is given right before you eat. And that's how your pancreas, that's that organ that produces insulin, works. When you eat, you get a burst of insulin to keep your blood sugar down, and that's what you would do when you administer insulin. We also have syringe and vials. That was the old way of giving insulin. That is still around. Some people still prefer to give themselves injections with a syringe. But many people are using the pens, which are very convenient, and you can just carry them around in your pocket at room temperature. And it's very, very convenient for most people.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Shawnee calling from Northwest. What's on your mind? Thanks for calling.
Hi, good afternoon. I just have a question regarding a friend of mine who has diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then they have an issue where it seems like they're out having out-of-body experience or disarray. And maybe you would equal it to someone who's intoxicated. Are you familiar with that situation?
Well, you know, it's very important to monitor your blood sugar. And if they're having an out-of-body experience, it may be because their blood sugars are very low. I'm not sure what medicines they are on, but there are certain medicines that can drop. If you have too much insulin, that can drop your blood sugar too low, and you may become a little disoriented. So
that's a better way to say it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yes, so it's very important that your friend monitor the blood sugar. And if you are around and can actually do the monitoring, because sometimes they're so disoriented they can't do it themselves, that you may be able to do it and then to check. And we define a low blood sugar if it's less than 70. And it's really and severely low if it's less than 40. You can actually seize and go into a coma. I think it's down too low.
Mm-hmm. Maya, thank you so much, Shawnee, for your phone call. Maya, we've had incidences when you've had issues with low blood sugar. When that happens, how do you feel?
Usually when I have my low blood sugars, I start to feel it like surprisingly early. So when I say early, I mean if I'm even in the 70s, I start to feel myself dropping slowly. So I feel tired, I'm sweating, I'm shaking, sometimes the room is spinning, and I just feel absolutely hungry at the time. And if it gets too severe, like Dr. Noni Bland has said, if it gets in the 30s, I start feeling really out of it, like delusional, not really sure what to do, like trying to get my blood sugar back up, but I'm still woozy and I don't feel like I'm 100% there.
What is the danger of that kind of thing, Dr. Bland? Because that's not just for type 1, but it's for any diabetic.
That is true. Yes, if your blood sugar drops too low, that can be life-threatening. Your brain needs sugar to function. And when it drops down too low, your brain is not getting enough energy to function. And that's why you seem to be very out of it, not aware of your surroundings. Some individuals can become very combative. And then you can easily slip into a coma and actually die if you have prolonged low blood sugar reactions.
So what should someone do if you are in the company of a diabetic and there's no one who perhaps understands what may be happening if they have a severe drop in blood sugar? How do you deal with that for them?
Yes. Well, the most important thing is to give them fast-acting sugar. Mm-hmm. And by fast-acting sugar, we mean orange juice. A half a cup of juice is good. We also ask individuals with diabetes to have glucose tablets. These are things that you can get over the counter. If you can't do that, lifesavers, 7 lifesavers are good. But juice, sugar, even 2 teaspoons of sugar, regular sugar, or a tablespoon of honey are all good sources to help get those blood sugars up.
Yeah, you may remember there's a famous scene in the movie The Godfather, Al Pacino, when he was talking, mm-hmm. I believe, to a priest, and then the character in The Godfather had diabetes, and he was given orange juice to help him recover. And so, if anyone is familiar with that scene, then that's exactly what she's talking about. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Deborah, calling from Temple Hills. Thanks for calling, Deborah. What's on your mind? Deborah, are you there? Deborah, give us a call back if you can. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jeanette, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Jeanette. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm calling because the doctor mentioned 2 types of diabetes, 1 and type 2.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that there is a third type of which affected me 8 years ago, and there's no diabetes in my family. I was not pre-diabetic, but I was treated for shingles with prednisone, and the prednisone sent me into a diabetic state. My blood glucose went up to over 900, and, of course, I ended up in the hospital.
Quickly, Dr. Bland, what is she speaking about?
Well, she's talking about steroid-induced diabetes. She said she was on prednisone, mm-hmm. and prednisone can actually block the action of insulin. And if someone is at a predisposition for diabetes, and when you take prednisone, then the insulin that you already are producing is not enough to overcome that prednisone block. So once they stop the prednisone or the steroids, many times the diabetes will disappear, but sometimes it does not.
Okay. Jeanette, quickly, how are you now?
I'm on oral medication. I'm still a diabetic. It did not reverse itself. In fact, I was told that by a physician. It didn't. I was on insulin until about 2 years ago.
Okay. Jeanette, hold that point. I need to take a break, but I want to finish up with you on the other side, so please don't hang up. Also, Ross in Northwest, Carl in Fredericksburg, and Stephanie in Maryland, we're going to be talking to you after the break as well. We're talking about diabetes treatment as well as diagnosis. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Stay with us.